You know, sometimes as Christians, we feel that God should isolate us and insulate us from the troubles of this world. But that's not the case. God is never going to isolate us or insulate us from the woes of this world. Because it's through what we go through on a day-to-day basis that we understand that God is who he says he is. And he has placed inside of me what I can do. He has empowered me through his grace to do what has to be done. So for some of you, it's going to be round two. And for some of you, it's going to be brand new. It's a book that's geared to men, but I believe in my heart that it's geared to all of us that call ourselves believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, because there's going to be some point in your Christian walk, if it hasn't happened to you right now, that there's going to be difficulties in your life. And they come in all types of shapes, they come in all types of forms, and all types of sizes. It's going to happen to you. But the thing of it is what am I holding on to? What truth of this word am I holding on to? That's why it's so important for you to read your word. Because, see, if you don't read your word, the enemy knows he got you right where he wants you. Because when you read this word, you understand the character of God. You understand the faithfulness of God. You understand the love of God through every situation and circumstance that we go through. Right? Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. He didn't say everything was going to be good. But he said all the things that we go through in this Christian life are working towards the good. And so many times we just freak out and get crazy and call this one and call that one who can't help you in the first place. But you know how we are. Call your best friend, my BFF, my road dog, or whoever. And you start bleeding on them, crying on them, and they can't help you. Because God puts us in a situation and circumstance. And I always tell people that God would never put you in the ring with the devil if he didn't think you could win. Never. Look at Job. They had a discussion about Job. You know, it said that Job was the fairest. There was nobody in the land more faithful than Job. So God and the devil were having a discussion, and he said to, you know, the devil, have you tried my servant Job? And the devil understood one thing. He said, you have put a hedge of protection around this man. Job was very rich. You know, he was a prayerful man and everything else. But the devil said, lift the hedge off of him, and I'll make him curse you to your face. See, God knows what's in you. So it doesn't matter what comes on. And as a believer, you have to understand, you're going to be attacked. All right? Well, the day you said yes to Jesus, you got a big target around your back. And the enemy is always shooting darts at you. But you have to understand, God had a conversation. You know, have you tried my servant Tom? All right? Have you tried my servant Gil? Have you tried my servant Frank? I'm just picking out some people to pick on. You know what I mean? Have you tried? And like I said, it comes in all different forms. It could be finances. It could be sickness. Okay? It could be marital problems. It could be your children. It could be a lot of things that go on that you see that happen in, you know, people in this world, but also those of us who believe in Christ. But it's our strength that we find in Jesus that helps us to continue to move forward, but it helps us to finish strong. All right, my life, these 25 years, have not been without difficulties, has not been without challenges, but I have made up my mind that I'm going to finish this race and God be glorified in everything that I do. And that's what we have to do. It comes from a made-up mind. Right? You're going to be challenges. Friends are going to walk away. Family's going to walk away. People's going to walk away. But what are you going to do? You know, Jesus gave that scenario about eating his flesh and drinking his blood in the book of John. And that's when a lot of people that were his disciples, he had more than 12. You do know that, right? If you don't read your Bible, and you'll find out, okay? And everybody else said, this is too hard of a saying. We can't get with this. And then he looked at the 12 and said, are you going to go away too? But it was Simon Peter who said no. He said, because we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you have the words of eternal life. And that's what we have to understand, the things about God, the character of God. Amen? So as I was talking to the guys yesterday, I just want to read you about this finishing strong thing. And it's just the first chapter. I've read the book, but I'm just dealing with the first chapter. And he talks about Billy Graham. And he said Billy Graham wasn't the only young preacher packing auditoriums in 1945. Chuck Templeton and Brian Clifford. How many know Chuck Templeton and Brian Clifford? Okay, see, same response we got yesterday, except for a couple. We're accomplishing the same things and more. All three young men were in their mid-20s. One was a seminary president. And after hearing Chuck Templeton preach one evening to an audience, thousands called him the most gifted and talented young man in America today for preaching. Templeton and Graham were friends. They both ministered for the Youth for Christ. Both were extraordinary preachers. Yet in their early years, most observers would have probably have put their money on Templeton. As a matter of fact, in 1946, the National Association of Evangelists published an article on men who would be best used of God. In the organization's five-year existence, the article highlighted the ministry of Chuck Templeton. Billy Graham was never mentioned. Templeton, many felt, would be the next Babe Ruth of evangelism. Bron Clifford was yet another gifted 25-year-old fireball in 1945. Many believed that Clifford was the most gifted and powerful preacher of the church had seen in centuries. In the same year, Clifford packed the auditorium for thousands in Miami, Florida. People lined up 10 and 12 deep outside the auditorium trying to get in. Later the same year, when Clifford was preaching at the chapel at Baylor University, the president ordered the class bells to be turned off so that the young minister could minister without interruption. To the student body, for 2 hours and 15 minutes, and that's what I plan to do today. No, it's a joke. For 2 hours and 15 minutes, he kept those students at the edge of their seats, and he preached on the subject, Christ and the Philosopher's Stone. At the age of 25, Clifford touched more lives, influenced more leaders, and set more audience records than any other clergyman his age in American history. National leaders vied for his attention. He was tall, he was handsome, he was intelligent and eloquent, and I told the guys, they're talking about me yesterday. Okay? Hollywood invited him for audition as a part of Marcellus in The Road. It seemed that he had everything. Graham, Templeton, and Clifford. In 1945, all three came out of the starting blocks like rockets. We've heard of Billy Graham. How come we have never heard of Chuck Templeton and Bron Clifford? Especially when they came out through the chutes so strong in 1945. Just 5 years later, Templeton left the ministry to pursue a career as a radio and television commentator and a news columnist. Templeton had decided he was no longer a believer in Christ in the orthodox sense of the term. In 1950, the future Babe Ruth wasn't even in the game. No longer believed in the validity of the claims of Jesus Christ. What about Clifford? In 1954, Clifford had lost his family, his ministry, his health, and then his life. Alcohol and financial irresponsibility had done him in. He wound up leaving his wife and their two Down syndrome children, and at just 35 years of age, this once great preacher died from cirrhosis of the liver in a rundown motel at the edge of Amarillo. The last job was selling used cars in the panhandle of Texas. He died, as John Hagee put it, unwept, unhonored, unsung. Pastors from Amarillo took up a collection among themselves in order to purchase a casket to send his body so it could be shipped back east for a decent burial in the cemetery of the poor. In 1945, these three young men with extraordinary gifts were preaching the gospel to multiply thousands across the nation, and within 10 years, only one of them was still on track for Jesus. In the Christian life, It's not how you start. It's how you finish that matters. It's how you finish this race now that matters. Because here they are, great young preachers on fire for Jesus. But life has a way of hitting us in such a way that we take our eyes off the Lord. We take our eyes off the course. And as I said earlier, it has to be a determination in your mind that I'm going to finish strong. Why? Because God has equipped me with everything I need to finish strong. All right? Jesus said that the thief only comes to seek, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And what Jesus was talking about, life above the comment, life above all the nonsense that we see being demonstrated in this earth. He came to give us a life that we can live above the common, the norm of everything else that is in this world. And that's what you have to understand. If you're going to finish strong, like I said, God is not going to isolate you or insulate you from the woes of this world. But please understand that greater is he that is in me is greater than the one that's in this world. That's what we have to understand if we're going to finish strong. And then there was another young man. His name was John Bisigo, all right? And he was going into the ministry. And he was at his future father-in-law's house, who was a preacher. And he told him, he said, John, as you get ready to go, enter into this ministry, he says, I want to give you some advice. Dr. Beck told the young man, stay true to Jesus. Make sure that you keep your heart close to Jesus every day. It's a long way from where you are going to go, and Satan is in no hurry to get you. It's a long way. It's a long way. When I came up in the ministry, you know, thank God, yesterday my minister buddy friend came. He talked to him Friday. He said, you know what, I'm going to show up. Can't stay long, but I'm going to show up. He was one of my partners in crime before Jesus got a hold of my life and everything else. But when I got saved, I went back and I got him. And I said, come on, my brother. You know, it's time to come this way. And he's been my barber for like 40-some years. And he came yesterday, and there wasn't nobody here to do praise and worship, and I just whispered in his ear. I said, you got something on your heart to sing. And he said, yeah, no problem. Just went to kept on eating. And then he got up and blessed our socks. Right, fellas? Because I say that to say this, that it doesn't matter. If you're on the praise and worship team, please understand, you're going to get hit. You're going to get hit. If you're a pastor, you're going to get hit. Things are going to happen to you in this life. If you're the usher, if you collected the tithes and all that stuff, you are going to get hit. You are on the enemy's radar. But the question becomes, what are you going to do when you get hit? Are you going to turn like these other guys? Turn to things. Turn to drugs. Turn to alcohol. Turn to sex. Turn to things that's only going to medicate you for the minute, but it's not going to help you to finish strong. Amen? And that's what this guy was telling this young kid. And he was saying to him, he says, I want to tell you. He says, he relates to the following with a sigh. He said, I'm 55 years old from the time, as the time of the years have gone, and I've had to turn back the page of the Bible. This guy, when he was in seminary, in the back of his Bible, wrote down 24 names of all the people that were in his class, graduating class of seminary. And he says, after 55 years, now I got to turn back and look at my Bible and cross out the names. I wrote down 24 names when I was just 20 years of age. 33 years later, there are only 3 names from the original 24. In this Christian life, it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. It's how you finish. It's how you finish. And then there's another one where this guy, his name John MacArthur, went into Scotland. It was big revivals breaking out and all this other stuff. And he ran into this kid. And the kid said to him, he said, your father came to Ireland over 30-some years ago with 2 other men. to hold revivals in Belfast in other parts of the country. So he said to him, he said, where's your father now? MacArthur told him that his father was preaching and pastoring. The man then asked, is he still faithful to the word? Yes, he is still faithful and he is still standing. He said, but what happened to the two other men who are ministering with your father? MacArthur replied, I'm sorry to report that one has denied the faith and the other has died as an alcoholic. It's not where you start, but it's how you finish. It's how you finish this race for Christ. And you have to understand that, like I said, it's not always going to be easy. God never said that this Christian walk would be easy. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew 7 that narrow is the way that leads to life, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. If you know, few find the narrow way. All right, and I always equate it to like the birthing canal. When the child comes through that canal, it's narrow, all right, but it comes forth. And you have to understand, whatever God has placed in you, it's going to come forth. And I was telling the guys yesterday, listen, I'm walking in the calling because that's who I am. And you can look at this and say, well, I'm not a preacher, I'm not that. But you have a husband, you have a wife, you have children, you have coworkers, right? You have family members, you have neighbors, you have everything. And they're watching you to see how you're going through life. You're ministering without even knowing that you're ministering. We have to understand that as parents, you are raising your daughters to be godly wives to a godly man. You are raising your sons to be a godly husband to a godly woman. Amen? That's what Christianity is all about. We reproduce after our own kind, just like the Genesis principle. When it came to man, you could read that whole thing. From verse 20 on down to verse 26, it said that everything that God created had a seed of its own kind. But when it came to man, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. You have the image of God. You should reflect God every day of your life in this earth. And it's not going to be easy. Look at the world that we're living in. And there's been many people. Joseph, look at Joseph. Sold into slavery, everything else. Here's Potiphar's wife hitting on him every day of the week. Delay with me. But what he said, no, because your husband has put me in charge over everything in his house except for you. But he said, how can I do this in the sight of God? Remember the guy was saying, keep your eyes on Jesus? That's why we got to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We get so distracted with all this other stuff that's in our lives. And we forget that our focus should be on the one person in our lives, the one that saved our soul. Amen? It should be on the one person each and every day. And there's three things that we have to remember that the guy brought out in this book. Because he's finishing is God's plan. All right? Finishing is God's plan. I'm not going to preach you and don't give you no scripture, okay? John 4, where Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And then he sent his disciples away because they went in to go get food and all that stuff. I don't know if they were bugging him. He said, you all go get food. I got work to do here. So as he ministered to this lady, and then here they come showing up on the scene, right? So it said, in the meantime, here they come in verse 32. John 4, 32. You don't have to go there. Write it down. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has someone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. All right? To finish his work. Jesus' whole mind and whole heart was about finishing the work that God has given him to do. And if we're going to be followers of Christ, we have to understand that God has given us a work to do. We are not just Christians. We are the ones that are carrying out the ministry of Jesus Christ. Each and every day of our life, we are carrying out the ministry of Jesus Christ, no matter what you do, in the workplace, in your home, in your neighborhoods, in the bank, in the supermarket. You do not separate yourself when you leave these doors today and all the God stuff is over, and then we live like hellions for the rest of the week. This ain't a place where we come and get the fix. This is a place where we come to get equipped to do exactly what God has called us to do. But if we're not careful, we're going to get sidetracked. We're going to get pushed out of the way. We're going to let the woes of this world. Now, don't get me wrong. There's been times where I said, Lord, God, what is going on? But I trust him. We were singing that song, I will put my trust in you alone, that he knows what he's doing. He knows what it takes. See, because God operates in our life sometimes like a goldsmith. And a goldsmith knows that gold is an impure metal. Everybody know that? When you buy it at the store at 24 karat, if you got that much money, or whatever, 18, 14, whatever they give you, that it's impure metals. And what they got to do is they have to heat it up to get the impurities out of that gold. And a goldsmith knows that if he leaves it in there too long, he's going to ruin the value of that gold. And that's what you have to understand sometimes in your life when you feel like, I don't know what's going on, I don't understand it, this is too difficult. God knows exactly what he's doing in your life. He knows exactly what it's going to take to get you into the place for you to recognize the greater in you is greater than my situation and circumstance. Amen? Because in finishing, in John 19, at Jesus, and it says, after Jesus knowing that all the things now were accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. That's why you got to stay in the word and understand what this word says for your life. Because even through you getting understanding of the word, you understand there are certain things that this word is going to help me to accomplish. Amen? Because we're talking about finishing strong. We're not talking about limping over the thing, even though sometimes that does happen. And we have seen many times in the Olympics, you've seen people who have fell down. But it didn't stop them because they got back up. And they did not win the race. But the point of it is they came across even limping. Because the whole point is I want to finish. I want to finish this. Because all of us got projects that we started and we didn't finish, correct? We know that, man. Let's look at our garages. You know. We all got projects that we started that we didn't finish. And even in this race, you have to understand, I remember the one time that guy that was running, he fell down, and his father jumped out of the stands and picked him up and helped him to cross the line. If your determination is to finish, God's going to bring somebody in your life that's going to help you to get across the finish line. But you have to have that determination that I'm going to finish. You have to have that determination. I'm not going to let my failures, and I'm not going to let my unbelief, I'm not going to let my doubt, I'm not going to let this worry, I'm not going to let all this stuff stop me from getting across that finish line. Amen? Because that's what Jesus did. He said that all things in the scriptures might be fulfilled. He said, I thirst. Now, a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled the sponge with sour wine and put it on hyssop, and he put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. He said, it is finished. The redemption of mankind is finished. The veil is ripped. It's finished. I now have access to God for myself. You don't need me. You don't need nobody else. All you need in your mind that I could go to Jesus for myself. That's why Hebrews says that we come to the throne boldly. Not like sheep. Oh God, I'm so sorry. No, he said you come to the throne boldly that you may obtain mercy and receive grace in your time of need. There's going to be times where you're going to misstep. There's going to be times when there's going to be failure. There's going to be times. But remember, we have an advocate with the Father. We have no excuse to get sidelined, to get detracted, and just say this is too much. It was meant to be too much. Child rearing, it's hard. Yes, it's supposed to be hard. Why? Because it keeps you on your knees. Marriage is supposed to be hard. Why? Because it keeps you on your knees. Because you have to understand that I am complete in my husband as a wife, and my husband is complete in me as a woman. It's supposed to be hard. We have to get past this thing that we want it just so nice and just so easy. It was never meant to be easy. This Christian walk was never meant to be easy. If you read the Bible, it talks about armor, warfare, Paul talked about. I'm getting ready to go to Florida next week. I'm not taking armor with me. I'm taking my bathing suit. Well, I'm going to the beach. But I know that when I go, and when I have to engage in the streets, when I go to the jail tonight, I have to engage. That's when I need the armor of God. Because I'm going into the enemy's territory. Amen? So we have to understand our plan. We have to understand our purpose. And not just Jesus, the Apostle Paul. He said in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul said, "For I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering, and my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." See, faith is the only thing that's going to keep you moving forward. Your emotions ain't going to keep you moving forward. Because you're just going to try to cry your way through it. God does not respond to tears. God responds to faith. And it doesn't lessen any pain that you go through. It doesn't lessen any pain that I've been through. But I realize that God has responded to my faith even in the midst of my tears, because I made a decision. I'm going to keep moving. No matter how much this hurts, I'm going to keep going forward. And in the keep going forward, that's when the pain lifts off of you. That's why David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The valley is not your destination, it's just a passageway. The destination is peace, holiness. That's the destination, amen? So Paul, that's what he said. And he said, "Finally, it's been laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing." So there's a crown out there for you. But are you going to be able to say like Paul that I finished this race? Look into Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. All right, Jesus had to endure. So why do we think that we don't have to? We're going to have to push ourselves forward in order to finish strong. If you want this nation to change, you're going to have to teach your kids. You're going to have to teach your grandkids, because they're going to be the next ones that you're going to have to come up and say, this ain't right. We're not living right. Because 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. See, there has to be a turn. That's what repentance is all about. We turn from darkness to the marvelous light of the cross from our heart. Turn from the wicked ways. Then they'll hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. See, somebody has to be man or woman enough to say, we need a national day of repentance. We are a national day for everything else. But if you want to see this country turn around, you let somebody in Washington, D.C. say we need a national day of repentance, and watch how God moves in this United States of America. But somebody got to stand up and get some backbone and say a little something. So there's four things that he talks about that we need to do in order to finish this race strong. Number one, he says you need to stay in. Number two, you need to stay close. Number three, you need to stay away. Number four, you need to stay alert. Number one, stay in. He said, stay in the scriptures. If you are going to finish this race, your number one place should be right here in this word. In this word. So therefore, you know exactly The character of God, you know when it's God bringing somebody in your life. You know when it's God telling you they need to get out of your life. All right? As a pastor, one thing, people always ask me, do you think he's the one? You think he's, she's the one? I said, if you don't know, what you asking me for? You need to know for yourself that she's the one or he's the one. Don't be asking me. Because as soon as that thing goes south, you're going to say, well, Pastor Don, you, oh, no, 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 no. That ain't happening. Because the Bible says that this your spirit, well, his spirit will agree with your spirit that you are the sons and daughters of God, correct? So if God's spirit's going to make you recognize who you are, God's spirit's going to make you recognize who he and she is. All right? You don't have to ask me for that. But you have to stay in the scriptures. And one of the things that came to me when Paul, in 2 Timothy 3, when he was talking to Timothy, because, you know, this is the things where he talks about perilous times, all right, which we're living in. That men will be lovers of money, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, blasphemy, all that thing, unholy, unthankful, and everything. But one thing he encourages Timothy is through the word. He said, but in verse 14, he says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing where you got them from, Timothy. Knowing where you got them things from. And he said, that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Why? Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may, number one, be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. When you read this word, you understand one thing, that God is equipping me. God is completing me. For thoroughly equipping me for every good work. And I was telling them, listen, it's one thing to own a handgun, but it's another thing, or a rifle or anything else, but it's a totally different thing to thoroughly understand that weapon. Because if there's a grizzly rolling up on you and that thing gets jammed, you better know how to unjam that thing, or you're bear meat. Eh? And it's just like that in life. We have to understand, we have to be thoroughly equipped in the word. So when the enemy comes upon us, we know exactly what bullet to put in the chamber that's going to back him up. Amen. He told Timothy, you know how you got here, Timothy? Because as a child, you understood the scriptures. You stayed in the scriptures. And that's the only thing that's going to help you to finish strong is the word of God. Can I pray for you? Yes, I can. Is things going to happen? Yes, I can. Why? Because I'm a man of God that God just works through. But it's a totally different thing. One of the guys was talking about yesterday that it was a great thing when their kids learn to dress themselves. He said they might have had the shoes on the wrong feet or the pants backwards, but they learned to dress themselves. And sooner or later, they got it right. Now the shoes are on the right feet. The pants are on the right way. The shirts are on the right way. But if we never get to the point where we stop this hand feeding, and I want it for myself. I don't want my grandmother's religion. I don't want my mama's religion. I want Jesus for my own self. Because one day mama's going off the scene, papa's going off the scene. Everybody that been around you, that ministered to you, breathed life into you. It's just a part of life. And what happens a lot of times with people is the teacher's gone. And now you don't remember everything that you've been taught. That's why you have to learn for yourself. So he said, stay in the scriptures. And then he says, stay close. Stay close to a friend who loves you enough to tell you when you are screwing up. Everybody needs somebody that's going to look you right in the face and say, you know what? You messing up. That's a friend. All them other people that are stroking you, they ain't your friends. Because they looking for you to fall. But people who can get up in your face and say, listen, you got a problem and you need to deal with this. Because that's not the way as a man of God, child of God, that you should be acting. Amen? And also that this person will never violate your confidence. Another thing, stay away. Stay away from women or men, keeping an appropriate distance in our relationship with one another. There's only four things that you can have in the church as far as being a man. Either it's your mother, your wife, your sister, or your child. That's the only relationships you have with women if you're single. And if who's that? That's the man, right? So for women, I didn't get to catch him. But for women, same thing. Either it's your husband, your father, your brother, or your child. You don't have no other relationships. There is no other relationships in the kingdom. That's all you got. Unless you try to foster something else, but that's between you and somebody else. So we have to safeguard that. I told you last week when I was preaching, the devil wears Victoria's Secrets and the devil wears those Giorgio Armani suits. Yeah, it looks good. Yeah, it smells good, but it ain't God. Come on now. It's tight, but it's right. Huh? You got half the church praying for a husband, the other half praying to get rid of him. Okay? Why? Because you didn't wait on God. You didn't wait on God. And vice versa. Husbands with wives. And also stay alert. You got to stay alert to the tactics of the enemy. If you're going to finish strong, you can't go through life on cruise control. Why? Because cruise control is just like this. Everybody's going to pass me. I ain't going to get no tickets. It's just cruise control. There is no adventure in Christ when you're on cruise control. But you have to remember the tactics of the enemy because he's coming. And that, all right? And when it comes to finishing strong, you can't go through life on cruise control, okay? When it comes to finishing strong, remember, the odds are against you. The odds are against you for finishing strong. There's going to be things that's going to come up in your life. That's why you have to keep your mind alert. Peter said, be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Anybody ever watch? I'm a Nat Geo man. You know what I mean? That big migration thing is going to come with the wildebeest and all them go and the alligators and I like, they be eating them up. But that, okay. I ain't saved all the way yet. No. But you understand that your enemy, Peter calls him your adversary. Your adversary is not your friend. Peter calls him adversary and he goes around seeking whom he may devour. So when you're not feeling too good, he ain't going to say, oh, poor Bobby. No, he's going to jump on you with all 4 feet. So you have to recognize your adversary. And there's another thing that you can't. So many times people say to me that I don't find time to read the scriptures. I ain't got time for this. Listen, you don't find quiet time. You make quiet time. It's not nothing you find. Stop acting like I got to find God. No, you make time for God. You make time for everything else, don't you? So you have to make time for God. Because here's the bottom line. God will never give you a schedule that does not have him in it. If God is not in your schedule, that's the schedule that you made up. That's not the schedule that God made up for your life. So you need to reprioritize, look at your schedule, and make sure. Because if you're going to finish strong, there is no other way to do it. Through the word of God. Because remember, there's a whole bunch of people in this book that started out like fireballs. There was a whole lot of people that this guy talks about. The one thing he was talking about, a survey of 250 preachers. Okay? Within 2 years, almost half of them were out of the ministry because of immorality. And by the time he got down, there was only like 10 preachers left out of 250. So what are you talking about? See, the gifts and the calling are not irrevocable. When God puts his hand on your life, he's not going to take it back. Because Jesus said, not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But those who do the will of my Father. Because he said that people will come up to me on last day and say, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I lay hands on the sick and they recover in all that? And Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. See, there's something about a relationship with the Lord, you knowing him, but it's also him knowing you. Because Timothy says, the Lord knows those who are his. And those who call upon the name of the Lord depart from sin. God knows. God knows. Amen. Let us rise to our feet. Let us rise to our feet. And I'm going to pray that if you kind of got off track or whatever, I ain't got to go through all that. And if you know that right now in your life, that you're not nowhere even close to finishing strong. It might not even be on your mind since I just said it to you. This is the first time this has came to your mind. Because God needs people. I told them yesterday, listen, we got 80 acres and a church to build. Does everybody understand that? And like I said, I'm not intimidated by that. Why? Because God's not intimidated by that. That's why I stay in the Word, because I want God to direct me, Josh, and all these pastors in what God wants, not what we want.